Hi, I'm Geeta.
And I'm Swati. Welcome to episode 15 of the Autism Everyday podcast. Just a little heads up for those of you tuning in only now. Geeta and I are both certified behavior analysts. We run WeCan, a resource center for autism in Chennai, and we are passionate about parent training, education, and of course, ASD. So our main objective in doing this podcast is to improve the lives of those affected by autism. And on that note, today we're going to talk about food. If you are a parent listening in and you have a child with extreme picky eating or a lot of behavior just during mealtimes, then this podcast is for you.
Food, right? It's a topic very, very close to our hearts. And I say that because food is a zone. It's not just about appeasing your hunger. Food represents love, concern, affection. It's a sign that the child is being, you know, taken care of well, right? It's about health, and it's about a full stomach means good sleep and a happy child, and so on and so forth. So food represents like a whole range of emotions and things, and that's why it's something that's really, really a topic close to our heart. We have all heard the saying, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I know a lot of that doesn't apply in today's society.
It doesn't.
Culturally, that's something that holds true for a lot of us even now. And culturally, it holds true for us even to find a way to the child's heart.
Mm-hmm.
So the parent actually decides that the child has to eat a particular quantity of a particular food in a particular meal in order for his hunger to be satisfied. It's like, you know, the mother decides X quantity has to go in, otherwise the child is not, his hunger, he's still going to be hungry.
Yeah.
But sadly, by forcing food into the child's mouth, we often end up making meal times and food itself an aversive for so many children. And then there is a point when, you know, mothers are so stressed, they say, oh, every meal is a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Takes me an hour and a half of making it happen. So just the other day, this young parent was talking about how her mother and mother-in-law often tell her off for being a bad mother, someone who really doesn't care for her child. I mean, you must be having a heart of stone, she was told, since she was implementing a feeding plan for him, a feeding plan that was designed by us to help him actually feed himself, to become independent and not depend on being fed by an adult.
Yeah, true. I know earlier we said this podcast is for parents, but I think apart from parents, educators and teachers also need to keep in mind that many kids eat at least one major meal at the center or school that they're at. And as the supervising adult there, you need to be in on what problems your child might be facing with food and how to help him overcome that.
So important, yeah.
You want to be, you know, you want to ensure you're exposing your child to new foods and expanding their diets. It's important that your child is not aversive to new foods. So today we're just going to explore some strategies and ideas for kids who are struggling with picky eating and problems surrounding food. Most kids on the spectrum come with some eating barriers and they can be grouped into two manifestations. First up, either they have a very limited diet,
or they have an aversion to new foods.
Yeah.
So they don't want to try anything that is new. They like that the familiar, same old every day. These challenges are very common in children with ASD. And research suggests that a combination of rigidities, routines, sensory issues, and basically the need for sameness, sort of idiosyncratic behaviors, is the number one reason for these challenges manifesting in the kids. Now, the most commonly stated reason by parents and many specialists is that, oh, they have sensory issues and so they cannot eat.
There is a whole lot of circular reasoning there.
Yeah, true.
You know, if I can use that term, because A, your child has sensory issues, so he can't eat some foods. But B, he can't eat certain foods, or rather he'll only eat certain foods because he has sensory issues.
Yeah.
I mean, does that even make sense?
Yeah, you put yourself in a bind over there, really. So, many parents report that children are aversive to eating sticky foods, right? That's the most common complaint one hears. Some say their kids don't chew at all.
Mm-hmm.
Again, something that we hear often, that they simply swallow things like rice and mushy foods. But the same child can bite and chew crunchy foods perfectly well.
Yeah.
Some others don't utilize their front teeth to take a bite of the piece of food, but instead they pack the whole food piece into their mouth and then chew. So what do we do about all these manifestations that you see? Now let's break that down. Sensory could mean that the child is not comfortable with the smell or the taste or the texture or even the sight of the food. And you want to make sure you're helping your child overcome the struggle, because the truth is it can become quite a challenge when they grow up, and you'd rather desensitize them to it sooner, right, than later. I mean,
yeah,
the longer they're used to it, then it's going to be harder to break the pattern. And one of the things we notice very often is that parents only serve their foods kid that they like and enjoy, because otherwise the child can have this big, you know, meltdown, there is this tantrum and all hell break loose, and who wants that? And there are many households, again speaking of culture, where multiple dishes are made every day to meet the tastes of every member of the family, particularly the children. Then there are others where the child with autism likes, say, a particular dish and everybody else in the house eats just that. So in other words, everything revolves around the child and what he likes. And by extension, it means parents do everything to keep that child happy and well fed.
No, but while this is completely understandable, because as a parent, you don't want to see your child in distress and you don't want to have to deal with a meltdown, and you definitely want him to eat. You don't want him to go hungry for sure. But at the same time, by reinforcing his picky eating, you know, by only giving him what he will eat, you are building this behavior up. So in other words, it becomes a vicious cycle. My child will eat only this, and so I will only give him this food.
Yeah. Another example of circular reasoning.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
Right? Something that you can never find a little way out of.
Absolutely.
So you want to keep some of these pointers in mind. For one, a toddler by year one should be self-feeding on a high chair with minimum adult assistance, and he needs to be able to indicate when he's had enough. A toddler by year two should be self-feeding again on a high chair with even little assistance and eating a variety of foods from all food groups. A child by age three needs to eat all meals, all snacks and liquids on his high chair completely independently and be able to clean up after himself. And no matter what the age of the child, it's important for him to sit in one place and eat and to be able to indicate appropriately when he's finished. I mean, most parents accept crying, throwing, spitting, pushing away the plate as a communication from the child that I'm done or I'm full. And this is something we don't want to accept, and we want to work on the child being able to just appropriately indicate that he's finished. And of course, the parent then has to accept that he's finished and not try to push a few more spoons down.
Yeah, don't push your luck. Yeah. Yeah. And at no point should children be given a device or access to a television during mealtimes.
Yeah, it makes mealtimes easier in the parents, from the parents' perspective, but yeah.
Yeah, not a good idea. Mm. Mealtimes are a great time to bond and spend some quality time with your child, rather than constantly reminding him to eat or pick up his spoon or eat some more, eat the vegetables, don't waste it, you know. So you want to make it more positive and less instructive and negative at this point of time. So it's never too late to begin. So get working on helping your child take another step towards his independence, and when you do that, you take one step towards being that fantastic parent that you are. So with that, we wrap up today's episode of Autism Every Day. Reach us at wechallengeautism@gmail.com with your feedback, your questions and your thoughts, or you can always DM us at wechallengeautism on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. Stay safe and see you next time.